Hi, everybody. I don't want to be a burden. What's meant by that? If ever there were a blanket statement, I don't want to be a burden is one of them. Think for a moment about when you have encountered someone saying, I don't want to be a burden. When did you hear it? What do you think that people really mean when they're saying it? Have you ever given this any thought? I know you've heard it, read it, maybe even said it yourself. What's the underlying message? Is it a knee-jerk phrase whenever help is offered or when change is at hand? I spent some time thinking about this because it's another one of what I call familiar intersections of caregiving or of aging. Turns out that I don't want to be a burden can have many meanings. Polite, simply saying it to be polite, or stall, put something out there that's expected and that nobody will question while you're angling. Deflect, I don't wish to discuss this, so let's look at that. Or stop, I'm putting my foot down, I'm ending this uncomfortable conversation. So let's take a look at polite, stall, deflect, and stop. Polite. Now, here is where I envision the demure delivery of, I don't want to be a burden, by somebody with their eyes cast downward or off to the side, a hesitant sounding person. I realize this may be my Southern take on things of what I have witnessed, but I see a cartoonish, aw shucks kind of reaction. I have a definite little video in my head that's triggered when I hear this phrase. The party may confide, well, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to impose. Now, said politely, or they're just saying it to be polite, but it's kind of become an expected phrase to hear, or one to use in response, a pat answer. Plus, the person may really want or need this kind of cajoling. It may be an invitation in reverse. They may welcome the fuss, or the kindness, or the bailout, acknowledging that there's a need, and they want to revel in the sunlight of your help. The second one that comes to mind is stall. And here's where I hear inner voices. I need time here to deliver a message that I'm unprepared or to prepare myself to accept help. I don't want you to see me to know that I'm unprepared. I'm not ready for this, but you don't need to know that. I have my pride. A person may not know that there's something that needs to be shored up, but they feel like they got to say something, and they've heard something akin to, I don't want to be a burden, before. It's like they're expected to say something, so let's say that. Others are mortified and realizing in that moment that their back door's open, or that they're in real trouble, or could be in an instant. Deflect. It can be, I don't want to be a burden can be a case for deflecting so as to defend. I don't want to be a burden buys valuable time. It presents a segue to change the subject. Most times when deflection is used, I find that the other person wants to have control of that situation, which is not at all under control. But this conversation could be. Many folks want to have everything figured out, or they think they've got it figured out. Some have plans in place for a given situation. Some folks don't know that they don't have control, and they accept whatever happens next as their destiny, or they're going to find out when they fall short. There's one I call demure deflection. It's a hybrid of polite and stall and deflect, and it means that when somebody says, I don't want to be a burden, they're buying time, they're fending off further inquiry, or it could circumvent the offer to help or get that other person involved. Demure deflection, it's an art form, I tell you. We now have to consider whether we're going to confront this matriarch or patriarch that is saying, I don't want to be a burden. Then there's stop. Stop is stop. Helping hand smacked so many times the hand that's trying to feed us. Foot down, heels dug in, and absolute no. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that kind of stop? There's articles and entire books written about deflection and stop. One of the most famous and comical but not, book is by Ross Shest, and it's called Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? It's a funny read, a great read, and I recommend it, especially if you like books in which you may recognize your own tendency and those of the people you love. Can't we talk about something more pleasant? When a flat no, though, is delivered, it could very well indicate that there's no plan in place. Solutionists like me know how to spot this stuff. But there's a common thread. What do you think that the common thread among all the above points might be? I think it's fear. There's an element of fear in all of what we're talking about today. Fear can stop people from learning their options and making decisions and from putting plans into action. It can certainly present to, in varying degrees, fear seems to come and go, seemingly at its will, not ours. Fear can be a long find, like a rain shower that turns into set in rain. We begin to live with it. Fear that you saw it, you saw my hesitation or my vulnerability, or you might see it. Got to keep it together for appearance's sake. Fear taps energy, and then it feeds, and we seem to diminish. Fear can masquerade. Fear can be projected. One can be reacting from another's bad experience or a fear of a family debacle. All of that can seem very real. Fear can be real. For example, maybe you're afraid somebody in your family or your circle of care will take control of you. We recognize fear, and we can harness that as cause for action. Well, not flight or fight in this instance. Fear discombobulates. In the case for solo agers, there's no one to help in their estimation, not until they've addressed their needs and put a team into place, until they've built community and safety. But you know what stops fear? A plan. Sureness, forethought, and contingencies, if we're smart. Safety. Knowing. Your mama or your loved one is not just saying the words, I don't want to be a burden. Some careful conversation is at hand to uncover what this statement may really mean. So there's a remedy. I don't want to be a burden signals one of the most frequent intersections that many helping professionals or helpful loved ones will encounter. We can learn to recognize that and look beyond, beside, and beneath that statement to see what's really being said. So many people go from zero to fear in a matter of seconds. I liken it to encountering a Venus flytrap. You know, sometimes we don't know when we're entering a minefield, but we sure know when we're there. more conversations are going to make way for a careful assessment that confirm or deny your suspicions about the origin of this phrase. Now, that's easier said than done, to have a conversation in a non-confrontational and supportive manner. We don't want fear to cause anybody to clam up or to be stuck in overwhelm. But this situation is likely screaming that a plan is needed. It helps to sort things out with somebody and to create a plan or revisit your plan. And it's in keeping with my guiding truth, which I've shared with y'all before. We can all have a say about how things will go and where we'll end up. So why not go there? Invite and encourage conversations to work out whatever's presenting together. Involve the other party. Build safety. Create that plan together. If you wish to talk over the situation and learn how to better navigate conversation, then I invite you to talk it over with me. Find out more about that when you're on my website, nancyrufter.com. Or you can visit my calendar and book a consultation at a time that's good for you. I don't want to be a burden. The next time you hear it, consider what's really being said. I hope that something that I've shared today provokes your thought and helps you to move more comfortably forward. Thanks, everybody.